Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on The Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry hops-infused hard seltzers.
Try that.
Yeah, I would love to. Daily Ticker time on a Wednesday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Good day to be over there. It's going to be a little hot here. Being at the beach would be nice. Joining us now is a longtime friend of the show, once upon a time, a host on these very airwaves, 105.1 The FM, The Fan now. Ian Furness, give him a follow on Twitter, at Ian D. Furness. Hosts up at 93.3 KJR and a studio host for the Seattle Kraken Hockey Network. Furness, good morning to you. How was vacation last week?
It was good. Staycation. Hung out a couple days. And I'll tell you, a trip to Cannon Beach and Pelican Brewing sounds like a plan. Actually, I'll date myself. 30-plus years ago, that's where we went on our honeymoon, my wife and I. So, awesome. I'd kind of like to get back there, actually, now that I think of it. Hell, how are you guys? Congrats on, and I was not on the FM. I was on... God, I was on 910, and then I was on 1080.
Yeah, different iterations of the station. What does former Fan employee Ian Furness make of us going big time now?
Oh, I love it. I'm happy for you guys. Listen, FM's a game changer. We're on the FM. We switched here at KJR. You'll love this. Swag especially, and everybody else running the thing behind the scenes. We were going to switch to the FM a few years ago. And Russell Wilson got traded in March. And that day, we were like, I don't know, 3 weeks away from making the flip. We flipped that morning, like right when Russ got traded, because it was such a huge deal.
Smart move.
Yeah, so it was... Yeah, Swag, how's that sound, buddy? Yeah. Sound like a fun time?
No.
Last couple of days have been great here behind the scenes. Everybody's doing great and getting lots of sleep right now. It hasn't been stressful at all.
No. Hey, you know what? Game changer, though. Congrats, man. It's awesome for you guys. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, man. You've been a good friend of the show. I want to ask you a quarterback question. You, last year, I want to say you were on, and you said Geno could be doing what Brock Purdy is doing. And some listeners heard that and were like, what?
I think it was 2 years ago. I think it was two years ago when Brock was in that MVP conversation.
Yeah, I think that's when it was. Yeah. And you gave that take. I'm just curious. Darnold is now the quarterback of the Seahawks for now. Geno is now with Pete Carroll in Vegas. Where are you at on Darnold? Because Chris Ballard says that you never know how these guys can pan out. Look at Baker, look at Darnold. I'm not ready to go there with Darnold the way that we have with Baker. Where are you at with the moving on of Geno Smith, and now here's camp, Sam Darnold's the quarterback?
A lot there, Brennan, but I'd say this. Let's go to Geno first.
Yeah.
Geno had came in as a starter without any competition, which was weird because it was all, it's all Pete ever said. We're all competing here, right? Well, yeah, to an extent. Really, Russ never competed after his rookie year. Marshawn never had any competition. I don't think Earl, Cam, Sherm, those guys were competing, Bobby Wagner with anybody.
Right.
But yeah, we're all competing, right? But the funny thing was, Russ leaves, they bring in Drew Lock, and they already had Geno here as a backup for a couple of years, kind of paying his dues. And Geno was just the reclamation project, if you remember. I mean, this guy was, he did nothing in the NFL up until that point. And he was handed the job that summer. It was odd. Like, there was no competition whatsoever. And maybe there was competition in the minicamps and the OTAs we didn't see behind the scenes, but there was never once. Locke was scheduled to take first-team snaps the third week of the preseason. He got COVID that week and never did, but it didn't matter. Geno was the starter. And Geno was fine. Geno put up good numbers. He led him to the playoffs that first year. Geno also changed a little bit as a quarterback. I think when Pete left, he soured. He wasn't a McDonald guy. And last year was an odd year. arm talent wise, Geno Smith is a top five guy in the league, just in terms of pure arm talent. I'm not talking about, you know, decision making, accuracy at times. You watch him spin the ball, it's just different. It's different than anything I've seen. Maybe early Russ had the same kind of velocity and stuff, but Geno's got incredible arm talent. Geno got to that last year, last season specifically, and it became about Geno getting paid more. He knew he was going into the second to last year of his contract. He put together some numbers that on the surface looked great, and, you know, his completion percentage above 70%. Well, when you're check down Charlie, yeah, it's going to be 70%. I mean, my goodness, it was pathetic what he was doing at the end of the season. Very selfish. There was a lot of Russ in him at the end, which I never would have expected before. Kind of sullen. You watched him on the sidelines. He changed. And I just think they needed to move on from him. And they certainly weren't going to pay him what he wanted. And so they did move on, you know, and he found it, you know, he's a Pete guy. Go hang out with Pete in Vegas. And, you know, congratulations on bringing back Jamal as well. That'll be a ton of fun for those guys. Hasn't had a sack since 2021, but sure, you go ahead and do that. I mean, so, you know, they had to go find a quarterback. And Sam Darnold was not going to be the starter, obviously, with J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. It was a logical move. Darnold said the second he saw, you know, Geno leave, he knew that was an opportunity, him and his agent, and it happened and it worked out well. Can Darnold replicate last year? Can he even be the level that Geno was maybe his first couple of years here? Remains to be seen, right? It's going to be hard. We won't know until 2 or 3 weeks into the season. I would just say this with Darnold. The track record, at least coming in, he does have one really good year as a starter under his belt, and Geno didn't even have that. It's an offense that fits him. The Kubiak offense, Shanahan/Kubiak offense, it fits what Sam Darnold can do. He can spin it as well. He's athletic. Guys love him. The guys I talked to during OTAs and mini camps and players, they love this guy. Very popular in the room. That's part of the deal being an NFL quarterback as well. So I think the offense overall is going to be better, and I think Darnold will fit nicely.
Hey, guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Interesting. We're talking with Ian Furness, our good buddy up in Seattle, 93.3 KJR, at Ian D. Furness on Twitter. We'll give him a follow, and the studio host for the Seattle Kraken. You had some tweets last week that I know made my antennas go up, and it came on the heels of a couple announcements out of the NBA, one being that owners aren't quite as bullish on expansion this offseason as maybe we thought they were going to be going into the offseason, and then Adam Silver getting asked at a press conference saying it's his preference that the Blazers stay in Portland while they're up for sale, which always, you know, makes you freak out a little bit. And people up in Seattle know that well, because that's what happened to their NBA team. I'm just curious, kind of a 30,000-foot view question for you, of what you make on the expansion efforts in Seattle, the Jody Allen for sale situation going on, and needing a new arena in Portland.
Yeah, there's it's an interesting thing, because, you know, when we lost the Sonics in 2008, I was working still at the Fan in Portland in 06 when Howard Schultz sold the team to Clayton Bennett. And I remember thinking, well, there's just, you know, people up in Seattle were panicked. There's no way they're ever going to move this team. 41 years. The attendance was actually decent, despite the fact that they had just kind of run the thing into the side of the mountain. Does this sound familiar at all? You stop me as soon as I start hitting some.
Things are going great down here, Ian. I don't know what you're talking about.
They won
36 games this year, and they just signed a 35-year-old who ruptured his Achilles.
Who will get paid for an entire – he's got the best agent in the world, huh? Like, what?
Good God, one, guy.
Can you imagine? Like, why do you sign him now? Like, what is that? Yay, rah, rah. But like, that's a
butts in the seats. That's why they're doing it. Butts in the seats.
Why? Just so they can see him sitting in street clothes?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's going to mean a lot.
Sell a ticket? Yeah. No, listen. Let me preface it by saying this. I don't think I would – they're not going to move the Portland Trail Blazers to Seattle. I mean, that would be far more egregious than what they did with Seattle to Oklahoma City. And I think deep down they know there was a mistake. But what they will do is this. They will use Seattle as a leverage tool. And this is what I tweeted last week, and it came out. John Hollinger wrote the same thing in Athletic 2 days ago. Like, if you follow this at all, you know what the playbook is. It's a really simple one. There is a city that desires the NBA, that's a big market, that has a brand new, sparkling, brand new arena that is ready to host the NBA. They welcome back with open arms. And now let's go around the league and see who needs a new arena, who needs an arena renovation, who can we leverage Seattle against around the league? Portland is one, and there's other teams as well. Memphis has its issues and has had since they went there back in, 26 years ago when they left Vancouver. I don't think they're going to move them, but we already got one building built, guys, and we didn't have a building here.
Yeah.
In 2012, 2013, when Sacramento looked like it potentially moved to Seattle, they got last second, 12th hour, they got a brand new building out of that in Sacramento. And we didn't even have a damn building at that point. We still had Key Arena. We didn't have Climate Pledge. Climate Pledge is a state-of-the-art, unbelievable facility. We didn't have that. Now we have that. There's true leverage. The NBA is greasy. Adam Silver is spineless and is like probably the – people can complain about Rob Manfred all they want. There is no commissioner with less juice than Adam Silver in the league. He first of all, he lies. Like he talks about, well, you know, we'll explore expansion. He's making it sound like last week when they just handed expansion thoughts and theories to two existing committees, one's a fiscal committee, and I think – I forget what the other one is, that was some sort of like step forward and something new in the process. If you guys – if anybody thinks that Adam Silver hasn't spoken to representatives of Seattle ownership group, they're crazy, because I can tell you for a fact that they have. It's the same ownership group as the Kraken have. It's the same group. There's other investors involved. And there's rumors that Jody could be involved once she sells the Blazers with a potential ownership with the Sonics as well as a minority owner. There's a lot going on there. Mm. It's all been discussed. Adam Silver has met multiple times with people representing Seattle. Going back to let's go back to 2018 when they did the season ticket drive for the Kraken. David Bonnerman, who has just passed away this past year, the primary owner initially of the Kraken, his daughter took over now. He was a minority owner of the Boston Celtics. Do you think over the last 7-8 years that he hasn't spoken to Adam Silver about expansion? He told me that night. Yeah, we want to bring an NBA team here too. Who are you kidding, Adam Silver? It's a joke. The problem now is they've pushed it further down the road. They've kicked the can further down the road, and for a couple of reasons. One is they can use Seattle as leverage, and they know that. Two is they want to get this European thing, which is just nothing more than a money grab, off the ground, and they want to have that establish their footprint in Europe. And don't ever believe when they try to tell you to grow the game in Europe. Grow the game. Look at an NBA roster. Half the league is European right now anyway, right? So why grow the game? No, you just want to capitalize and profit off of that is what you want to do, and then you'll worry about expansion on your own soil, because you know places like Seattle, Vegas, when they figure out what their ownership situation is going to be and the building situation is going to be. And then you've got Nashville doing an arena renovation that wants a team. Kansas City always comes up as well. We can go on and on and on. Vancouver has been talked about again, getting a team back up there north of the border, a second Canadian team. We can go on forever. Mexico City, which seems so far-fetched, but they're going to use Mexico City for leverage too. That's how this league works.
Final one for you. We're against it. I know you won't care because you're a radio guy and we all go over the clock here. Cal Raleigh does it again yesterday, gives them their run against the Red Hot Brewers. They win 1-0. I said it after the home run derby. I think I'm laying a futures on the Mariners to win the World Series because the value is great. Ooh. And why not?
Why not? I got a lot of history to point to from why not.
That's okay. Yeah. He's gone through it. What do you make of Cal Raleigh and just how insane this season is? He's one away from 40. And where are you at on the Mariners? You buy in the passing. They're going to be buyers at the deadline because they don't want to waste Cal Raleigh's season.
Well, why not? It'll be 49 years. I'll just give you that. There's 49 years of history. They've been buyers the last couple of years, though. I mean, three years ago, Castillo at the deadline. And then last year, they picked up Randy Rosarena, was probably the biggest bat on the market last year. And they picked him up at the deadline. So I could see them being buyers. I think the one guy that everyone links them to is Gino Suarez out of Arizona, who used to be here, obviously, left because of a salary dump. And the question is, do you go get him and bring him back? He's chasing Cal down for the home run league. There's a lot of competition for Gino. They could have bought him low about a month ago, and now Arizona's been winning, and you know, other teams want him, so the bidding's going to be high. You may have to give up a top 100 prospect, and they've been kind of, you know, not really wanting to do that for a rental player. They've never done it for a rental player. And I don't know if you want to re-sign Gino to a long-term deal, so we'll see. But I think they will be buyers, guys. I really do. I don't think the pressure up here is too immense. They have to do something at the deadline. As far as Cal, it's one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen in sports. I mean, it's even last night, they just need one. You know, the pitching matchup between those two guys was unbelievable, and they needed one, and Cal gave him a solo shot. He seems to come through in the big moments more often than not. It's just an incredible thing watching this guy on a nightly basis. He's an incredible, incredible leader in that clubhouse. He's the one guy that's been outspoken about the lack of moves in the past with the team. If you remember a couple of years ago, Scott Service actually chastised him for it. Nice to know you, Scott. Thanks for coming. This is the most he's the most impactful and most important athlete in Seattle right now, and there's not even a close number two.
Would have been wild thinking that a couple of years ago with Julio. And he's got the best nickname in sports, the Big Dumper. Ian Furness, at Ian D. Furness on Twitter. Go give him a follow. 93.3 KJR up in Seattle. Seattle Kraken Hockey Network as well. Always great catching up with you, buddy. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the start of training camp. Let's do this again soon.
Anytime, guys. Good to talk to you. See ya.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.